I'd like to share some thoughts with you today related to the season we're in, and to look at some verses from the Word of God that show us a bit about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and more than that, I hope. I'll start by asking you what you enjoy about Christmas. A lot of people have a lot of different responses to what Christmas is to them. And a lot of people around the world and in our country and people that I work with and people that attend here have a lot of things they're used to doing year by year at Christmas. Some people have traditions that they enjoy, and that's something they really appreciate about Christmas season. Others like the decor, time to dress the place up a little bit and enjoy and celebrate some of the things that we like to see regularly year by year. Time of year when we can get out ornaments and things that we don't normally have around the house and appreciate them. Some people really get into the Christmas music a little bit. Have this little slide, and I saw that, and I thought that reminds me a little bit maybe of Nora Brown. They're partying, enjoying the music of the season. And we can enjoy that for sure. Of course, there's always good food, isn't there, at Christmas? And we look forward to times when we can enjoy some special treats that we might not have regularly through the year. Some people like the lights. I appreciate the lights. Drive around or walk around the community and see people have lit up their homes a little bit. And it's nice to see those kinds of things. Of course, maybe one of the great blessings of Christmas is family, getting together with family. We're in a year when this is going to be more of a challenge. Certainly, we're not able to get together as we have in the past, but here's something that we enjoy, don't we, when we come together at Christmas times, when the family can come together. Here's somebody, if you can see him buried in there, who's really got some enjoyment going on of what sometimes we like about Christmas, giving of gifts. And this guy's happy to have some gifts. Looks like he's got more than he can handle here surrounding him. These are all things that we enjoy. They might be traditions that we have surrounding Christmas, but I want to think a little bit more about what Christmas really can mean. All of these things are good in and of themselves to some degree. Excuse me. They are all things that we can enjoy, but I don't need to remind you or tell you that there's more to Christmas than these traditional things that we so much enjoy. And today we're coming together to think about more than this, more than what Christmas means in terms of traditions. I walked around my community yesterday with my camera and I took some pictures. I took some shots of some of the things that people had set up in their lawns or in their front porches. And here were a few of them. We had quite a few of those little red guys standing around all through the community. We had not a few snowmen there, some of the sleighs, the reindeer, lots of little animals. Thank you, Tom. And, I saw some deer and some moose and some little foxes, all kinds of little animals that were lit up. You'll see lots of those, I'm sure, around your community, people dressing up their houses. And as I was walking around and seeing these things, I thought to myself, if somebody was new to Canada and wanted to know a little bit about what Christmas is, and they walked through the community, I wonder what they might think. What is it really all about? Little log deer, little animals with their heads moving back and forth. I don't know what that little red-headed hat thing is. Strange little gnome. And there we have Snoopy and Charlie Brown skating on the pond. Is this really what Christmas is about? And then as I walked, I came across one neighbor who had this on their lawn. A little nativity scene. About 125 houses that I walked by, and one of them had this. Reminding us that the Christmas season is about the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. We often reflect on this little nativity scene, and though I fear that in the minds of most people around the world, this is not the focus of the Christmas season, it is good for us today to come together and reflect on what Christmas is really about, the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to earth. We have plenty of these nativity scenes that we see over the years, sometimes set up in houses, a little vignette. But I'm going to suggest today, this morning, that even this really isn't what perhaps we should be focusing on Christmas. It isn't so much about the ox and the sheep, not really about the donkeys and the wise men and the shepherds, the angels who appeared. That's not what Christmas is really about. That's not what the Lord's coming was really all about. This is the setting that we have presented in Scripture, but the coming to earth of our Lord Jesus Christ was so much more than this. It was about the man, Jesus Christ. It was about the fulfillment of great historic promises that God had made in his word. It wasn't so much about the baby in a manger as it was about what that man would do and all that he would become and all that he would accomplish. It's far more about his death, really, than it was about his birth. The story of the Lord's coming to earth is the story of salvation, the story of deliverance, the story of redemption. This is what the Lord's coming to earth was really all about. And I want to think with you this morning about seven of the personalities or seven of the people that were involved in the story of the Lord's coming to earth, and to think about what they have to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. How did they know him? Two things in particular I want to think about with regard to each of these seven people. I want to think, first of all, about what was their reaction to the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was their reaction to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world? And secondly, I want to think about this. How were they introduced to him? How did they know him? What was their understanding of him? So we'll look at these seven, and we'll think about those two things. What was their reaction? And how did they know him? What did they know of him? Let's start, if you would, by Zacharias. The story of Zacharias and Elizabeth is given to us in the first chapter of Luke's gospel. And we might think that Zacharias and Elizabeth are not really truly part of the Christmas story, but they are. Their lives are completely entwined and embedded around the story of Christmas. Zacharias and Elizabeth, we might know from the first chapter of Luke's gospel, were an elderly couple who were without children. They were faithful people, committed to the Lord and serving him. Zacharias was a priest, serving the Lord in the temple of the Lord, and we read about their account at the beginning of Luke's gospel before we read of the birth of the Lord. The announcement of the birth of their child, who was to become John the Baptist, is given by Luke before he introduces the coming of the Lord himself. Zacharias was a man who was faithful to God and served the Lord, and we read about his story in this chapter, and there's just a few verses that I want to bring to your attention. We won't read the whole account, but we understand that Zacharias lived in the days of Herod, and he was a priest in the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, Scripture tells us. They had no child, and they were both well advanced in years. And the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias and announces that a child would be born to them, that they would have a child. Zacharias was incredulous. He couldn't believe that this could happen. The angel came and announced this, and I want to notice in particular a couple of things that the angel says to Zacharias. He says in chapter 1 and verse 17 that he, that is their son, who is to be born, Zacharias and Elizabeth's son, will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Your son will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Zacharias, listening to this, might have asked, go before whom? Who is he going before? If you're reading from Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, you'll notice that that word, him, he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, is capitalized. And it refers to the coming one, someone other than John the Baptist, someone other than their son that is to be born. And so in the birth of John the Baptist, we actually have a foreshadowing of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, a looking forward to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Zacharias is told that your son, John, is going to go before him, the Messiah who is to come in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias was having great difficulty taking all of this in. And the announcement to Zacharias of the birth of his son was really secondary to the message that he was receiving, that another one greater was coming. And John was going to serve this greater one who was to come. I mentioned, we read as we carry on, that Zacharias struggled to believe this could be true. And as a result, the angel said, you will be mute and not able to speak. And indeed, that's exactly what happened from that moment on. Zacharias, his mouth was silenced, and we can understand as we read on that perhaps he was not able to hear either. And for 10 months, Zacharias had time to ponder these words that the angel had given him. He had time to think about what was to come. There was a period, I'm going to suggest, of anticipation in his heart, as he waited not only for the birth of his own son, but of this greater promise that was to come. As time went by, indeed his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and they had a son, John. And over that period of time, I think the Lord did a great work in the heart of Zacharias as he thought about all that he had been told and all that was to take place, as he reflected back on the promises that had been made to the children of Israel through ages past. Promises to Abraham, promises to David, promises through the prophets of the Old Testament of a king that was coming. He anticipated that this would come. And on the day that his child was dedicated and named, according to the verses at the end of the chapter, he confirmed indeed what the angel had instructed him to do, to name the child John. And when he confirmed that, as he wrote it on a tablet, the Lord opened his mouth and he was able to speak. And the first words we read that he spoke were words of praise and adoration to God. The first words that he spoke were not words about his own son that was born, but words about the greater one that is to come, who his son would go about to serve. In verse 68 of chapter 1, he says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began." And so he reflects on the promises that have been made, and he anticipates all that is to come in this one that is to be born. "That we should be saved from our enemies," verse 71, "and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." And so these verses all speak not about John, who was the delight, no doubt, of his parents that was newly born, but about the Lord Jesus Christ who was to come after. But now he turns and says just this one short word about his own son, John. He says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." And there in verse 76, John repeats almost word for word what he had been told by the angel Gabriel some 10 months earlier, that his son would go before the Lord to prepare his way. And now John, now Zacharias, accepts and believes all that God has said. In verse 77, he says, "To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so we have Zacharias rejoicing, not in the birth of his own son, but anticipating all that is to come in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth is yet to come. Anticipation. Zacharias here refers to this one as the day spring. Some in their translations might have the dawn. The dawn in verse 78. "From which the day spring from on high has visited us." Zacharias looks forward to the end of the night, the long dark night that the children of Israel have been journeying through. He anticipates the light appearing. And indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus Christ came as the light, the dayspring, the dawn, to take the darkness away. And as we think about Christmas and the week ahead, here are some things that perhaps Zacharias would tell us about this one. Not focusing on a baby so much in the manger as focusing on and anticipating all that that baby would become, all that baby would accomplish, the vanquishing of darkness, the bringing of light, anticipating all that is to come. And we too can anticipate the light reappearing. Christ, as the dawn, will appear again. He is coming back to receive those who are his own to be with him, to vanquish darkness forever and to bring us into the light of God's eternal presence. At Christmas, is it appropriate that we respond to the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, in anticipation of all that is to come and recognizing him as the light of the world, the dawn, the day spring. that will take us out of darkness. Elizabeth. Elizabeth also is a key character and element in this story. We don't read a lot about Elizabeth, but I would just focus on this aspect of Elizabeth and her response to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In contrast to her husband, who struggled to believe, Zacharias speaks about faith and about believing, about trust in God. Zacharias and Elizabeth have this child, and as she is waiting for the birth of her child, Mary, the mother of the Lord, comes to visit her. And she says chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women," to Mary, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." As we think about the Christmas season and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we would be wise to follow the lead and example of Elizabeth, a woman of faith, a woman who listened to what God had said and believed what God had said, a woman who recognized faith in the lives and hearts of others and commended it. God has given us rich and abundant promises in his word, promises that surround our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, telling us not only what he has done, but all that will be, all that God has in store for you and I, the truth of our salvation and the fullness of it. I think that we have only begun to taste of the wonderful blessings and benefits of the salvation that God has brought for us. There is so much more to come. And as we think about Christmas this week, let's have faith. Let's trust in God. Let's accept and embrace and believe all that he has said about what he has for us, his children, because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his life, because of his death, because of his ascension to the throne of God, because of his coming again to take us to be with himself. And as we believe, and as we have faith and put our trust in all that God has said, God will bless and richly bless our lives as we trust in him. The Lord is the title that Elizabeth uses. Elizabeth speaks of Jesus Christ as her Lord, this baby unborn in Mary's womb, is referred to by this older relative as the Lord. And not just the Lord, but my Lord. My Lord. He is indeed our Lord. He is my Lord. I hope and pray he is your Lord. And if he is your Lord, that word means that we submit to him, that we recognize his sovereignty over us, his authority over us. And it should be our desire to serve him and to live for him, if indeed he is our Lord, as we say that he is. Mary knew him as her Lord. Her Lord. Let's think about another character of Christmas. Well, not a character, but a group of people, the shepherds. We read of the shepherds and of the announcement to them. What was their response to the announcement of the birth of the Lord? Well, their initial response, we read, was actually fear, we read when the angels appeared in the sky over the fields of Bethlehem. We read about this in chapter 2 of Luke and verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid, greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds' response to the announcement of the Lord's birth was one of joy. It started with fear, but as the angel told them about the news being news of joy, their hearts turned, and we could see it in the response of the shepherds, who immediately with haste ran to see this thing that had taken place and saw in the manger this baby that had been born. And then they went about, we read, and spread the news to all those who were around. And we can say that through their response to this message that they had received, their hearts were full of joy. What was their introduction to this baby? How did they know this baby? Well, true, they were told to go and look for the baby in a manger. But the title that he was given that they knew was this in verse 11. Who is Christ the Lord, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They understood that this baby born in this manger was the one who would be the Savior. And at Christmas time, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ as a babe in a manger. But let us not forget that the babe in the manger is the Savior of the world. The babe in the manger went on to defeat sin and hell and Satan and death by dying on the cross at Calvary. We remember this time of year with joy, not so much, I'd suggest to you, because of that romantic little vignette that we think of with the angels and the shepherds and the wise men gathered around. We rejoice in it because this is the Savior of the world that was born. And that's how these shepherds came to know the Christ child. Then we have the story of the wise men. Matthew records this for us. The wise men came from great distance. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." We have come to worship him. Their response was one of veneration, one of respect, adoration. They came to adore this one who was born, to honor him, to show his great worth and to show respect and reverence for a baby that was born. The wise men came with a response of worship to fall before the Lord. And so when we think about Christmas time, that is about upon us, perhaps we should respond in a similar way in worship. These wise men came to see this child that had been born, but they didn't come because they wanted to see a baby in a manger so much. They came because they recognized in this child one who would be king. They had been instructed, they had been told somehow, we don't know how they came to know this, but they came to understand that this one was to be the king of the Jews. That's encouraging to me, to think about the Lord Jesus Christ in that way because it reminds me that Scripture tells us that the Lord's work with regard to the nation of Israel is not done. There is still more dealings that the Lord will have with his people. He is the King of the Jews, and he will again restore that nation to a great position of prominence in the world. But perhaps more personally, I'm affected by recognizing that he is not just the King of the Jews, because Scripture tells me that he wears another title, that on his robe is written this title, Revelation 19, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Philippians, Paul writes that to him every knee shall bow, every knee under heaven and under earth. He is the King of all. And we can remember him at this time of year in that way. There's a few other characters we might consider, the primary characters of our Bible story, Joseph. Joseph's response, I'd suggest to you, is one of acceptance. In Matthew's gospel, we read of the angel coming to Joseph in a dream and announcing that his wife is with the one who is not yet his wife, but is a spouse to him, is with child. I'm sure that you've often reflected on this. As I have, this must have been a very difficult place for Joseph to be. Never in the history of the world had it been known that a child would be born aside from through the union of a man and a woman. Surely he must have had thoughts about whether Mary had been unfaithful. Or could this thing that the angel has said really been true? Could it be possible? The angel announces to Joseph that Mary is with child, and that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Joseph is given this little reminder of prophecy that must have helped him a little bit, I think, in his ponderings about all of this. This was done that it might be fulfilled, what was spoken by through the Lord, through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Joseph's response was one of acceptance. He accepted all that the Lord had said through this angel, and we read that immediately he was not hesitant to take Mary as his wife and to accept this child that is born, and to understand and embrace and accept the reality that God was doing a great work in bringing a Savior into the world, and he had a part to play in it. That God was coming to be with us in the world. God with us. Emmanuel. This is how Joseph came to know the Lord. And then we have Mary. Mary's response, we read many times, several times, through the gospel accounts of how Mary thought about these things, how she pondered them in her heart. And we read about that with regard to the birth of the Lord and the reactions that people had to the birth of the Lord, and how that she observed what was going on and she took note of it and obviously thought a lot about what was being said, about the words that were being spoken. She pondered these things in her heart. As Christmas comes upon us, we'd be wise to respond in this way too, to think about all that it implies, to think about all that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ means to us, of all that it entails. Her response was one of wonder. One of wonder as she thought about this one. Mary is told that this one who is to be born is going to be known as the Son of God. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The Son of God. Unlike any other that has been born in this world to this point in time, this one is going to be the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so Mary wondered about these things and took it all in and rehearsed it over and over again, I'm sure, in her mind as she observed all these things that were happening in and around the Lord. Last that I want to think about is one other character that we read about, one other person who was witness to all of these events, and we read about him in chapter 2 of Luke's gospel. This is the man Simeon. He's an older man. We read about him in chapter 2 and verse 25 of Luke's gospel. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation.'" As we think about the week ahead and the Christmas season that's upon us, my prayer is that God would impart on my heart the same sense of peace, the response of peace that Simeon felt. Simeon had long waited for deliverance. He had long waited for relief from the oppression that he saw in the lives of the people around him in his own life. And when he saw the child Jesus, he recognized that in this child comes peace and rest. He could now go forward in his life with peace, understanding that God had brought about salvation for him, for his nation, and for the world, which he has prepared before the face of all peoples, Simeon says. In the child, the Lord Jesus Christ, was to be fulfilled the hopes and the dreams of people from around the world. We celebrate the Christmas season understanding that it isn't just about the baby in the manger, but it is about all that he did, all that he became, all that he achieved, all that he accomplished for us, his life, his death, his resurrection, his coming again. We can tie all of this up together as we marvel, as we revel in the coming to earth of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. And I pray that he would bless us in this way over these days ahead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we see the busyness that goes on in this world at this time of year and the distractions that surround us, the many images and events that take place, we pray that you would not allow our focus to be completely distracted from the one who is the center of our lives, the one who brings us salvation and deliverance and an eternity of peace and blessing with you. Help us to reflect on him this week. We thank you for him, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.